yield that one to Jessica. Jessica found that, and I thought that's perfect because I just love the last line, no matter how messy our lives get, we can be thankful. How many have had some messy lives? How many are still thankful? Amen? One of the greatest things here is just being able to be here today and be thankful for that. And I'm going to pick this up. Yeah, it still works, Jessica. We're good. So we are thankful. Thanksgiving probably, if it hasn't always been, is becoming more and more my favorite holiday. Many of you know I struggle with holidays a little bit, like Christmas and the commercialization. And then we have Easter, which Easter is, you know, you have your chocolate bunnies and hidden eggs. And nothing screams resurrection of Jesus like chocolate bunnies and hidden eggs. Microphone on? Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Is this thing on? Are you hearing me? We typically, when we think of Thanksgiving, we think about the pilgrims. We think about that first Thanksgiving and all that. But little quiz that I want to read. I won't read the whole letter. It's worth reading. Does anybody who know who made Thanksgiving a national holiday? God. No. No, not quite. Anybody? Abraham Lincoln, okay? It's kind of interesting. I read a little bit of how he did that, and it goes back to a lady named Mrs. Hale, and she had a women's magazine, and for 15 years in a row, she wrote the president, different presidents, asking to set aside a national day of Thanksgiving. None of the men responded. There was no response at all until Abraham Lincoln in 1863, so right during the middle of the Civil War is when Thanksgiving became a national holiday. And one his Secretary of State actually wrote this letter for him, but I want to read not the whole thing, but it would be great. I do challenge you to read it because, man, the parallels are incredible with what he says and today why we need to be thankful. The first sentence is great. He says this: the year is drawing towards a close, and it has been filled with blessings and fruitful fields and healthy full skies. To these bounties, we are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source in which they come. And he opens it up with something that's so normal. We are so blessed that we forget it. And it seems constant. And he goes on, and he lists some of the blessings here. And what he says is the blessings, he says, although we are engaged in a civil war, and although the battle goes on and we are divided, one of the great blessings is no other nation attacked us. I mean, at a time, often during a time of upheaval in any nation, the enemies of that nation, but there was no other nation rose up against us during that time. Secondly, he says that the country continued to grow. During the Civil War, this terrible thing, what happened was the battle in the field, there was a lot of loss of life, but amazingly, production, planting, harvesting, expansion towards the West even continued during this time, and our country became richer during one of its darkest times. And then the third blessing, he talks about the population grew. That although we are losing people, that God continued to bless us. So even in the midst of probably the darkest time of our country's history, even at a time when we were more divided than ever before, and I know we talk a lot about that nowadays, how divided we are, but we are not at war with one another. There was time to stop and be thankful for the blessings of God. And he concludes a little part of it, and I want to read a couple sentences here. It says this. He says, it has seemed to me fit and proper that we should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledge, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every United States and all those who are at sea and all those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and reserve the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up ascriptions justly due to him by the singular deliverances and blessings, listen to this, they also in humble penance for our national perverseness and disobedience. So on this day, and he goes on and he says that we need to do this together as one people with one heart in all the nations. Up to this point, different states had different times, but he said there has to be a national day that we come together as one country, as one people, and thank God for all the blessings, but also be penitent for our disobedience towards him. And I think that's something that we always need to remember. In all these Thanksgivings, it's a call for us to remember, too, to be humble and ask God to forgive us individually, as families, and even as a nation when we walk away from him. So I want to challenge you to do that. And when we think about Thanksgiving, I know most of the time we think about the first Thanksgiving, but that's kind of interesting to me that Lincoln said, even in the midst of this time, we can be thankful. And I know we're at different stages of life, and we can have, maybe we're going through a great stage, maybe a hard stage, a lonely stage, or whatever it is, but stop and be thankful. So as I got ready to prepare this about Thanksgiving, I was going to do the typical Thanksgiving, but then I asked this incredible theological question. You ready? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Okay? And The chicken, the egg. See, I knew you guys would know the answer. The answer is chicken because God created it. Bam. Okay, that's what it did. But when we begin to think about being thankful and being generous, what comes first? And we think, well, we're thankful or are we generous? And I'm going to say, and we're going to look at some scriptures, and I hope you have your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, have your phone. Write these down. A lot of these scriptures, I said, don't put them in there because I don't know how many I'm going to use. There is a little bit of outline in your book there, in your bulletin, but we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to look at several scriptures, and I want to talk about being generous. Because my belief is it's only when we are generous that we begin to be grateful. Now, think about that a moment, people you know. Think about people you know that really appreciate things, that really are grateful about things, that show gratitude. Those people, I maintain, first were generous. You think about a stingy person, and it's a person a little bit negative. Someone who is greedy, they do not seem to be thankful because in their spirit, they always want more, and they're not thankful for what they have. But if we are a generous person, we develop an attitude of thanksgiving. So I want to look at some of those things. One of my great things, and I share this a lot, is teaching the guys. And we're going through the Old Testament at 9 o'clock. And one of the things that continually amazes me as we look through it, and you don't have to be a scholar, but as you read the Old Testament and you look at the lives of these people, you know what question pops out to me? How and why did God use these people, right? Look, they were pretty messed up. And then you think, well, maybe to go better if God's exactly with them. Then you look at the disciples, and we looked at that last week. Right after he instituted the Lord's Supper, they begin to fight who's the greatest. Right afterwards. I mean, soon as he said, okay, drink. I mean, they were putting the communion back in the communion tray. And they were begin to fight. And you think, how does God use these people? And then you grow up and you go to church and you look at the people in your church and you know what you ask? How does God use these people, right? And you look in the mirror and you think, how in the world does God use me? I look at that notebook I've written sometimes and man, there's a couple chapters that need to be redacted, okay? There's a couple things that, boy, I wish I could scratch that one out, right? Amen, brother? Yeah, you got that, okay? But so the idea is, what is it that God still uses us? And it's just such an amazing thing, and just to be thankful. And I really think the kids, God, 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 you know. Well, that was Trinity there, right? Okay, that we should be thankful for God. In Genesis chapter 12, and you can jot these down and look at them. I'm just not going to read the whole thing. I'll read a couple verses later. But in Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, huge verse. You need to know this one. This is where God calls Abraham. And he tells Abraham, hey, go to the place. I'm not even going to show you where I'm going. But I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Okay? And he does that so that you will be a blessing to all the nations. Right? He goes on, and if you, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse whoever curses you. Go on. Boom. and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, here's the thing to understand. The reason you are blessed, this is how God does it. From heaven, the blessings come down. The reason God blesses you is to bless others. And the moment you stop blessing others, you kind of clog the pipeline. God blessed Abraham wasn't because Abraham was so perfect. The way God used all those people and worked through them wasn't that they're all perfect, but he had a purpose in their lives. God's purpose is for all of us to live for him, with him for eternity. And to restore that relationship, to make that possible, he had to become a man in Jesus Christ and die on a cross. And then by our faith in him, we receive that eternal gift of salvation, right? We all know that. But he says there's something in us that needs to happen. We have to be generous. How many believe that God has blessed you? I mean, all of us. I mean, if we stop and think, God has blessed you. But why does God bless you? God blesses you for the purpose of using that to bless other people. Now, there's a couple attitudes that can come with blessings. And one of those is in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 13. And following. And we're probably pretty familiar with this. So just a couple things. This person was blessed. Ready? Someone in the crowd said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance among me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who has appointed me judge and arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a crop." Now, just hang on there. You know, every word in Scripture is so important. What produced the crop? The ground. Okay, just interesting. The ground produced the crop. Where'd the ground come from? God. Where'd the rain come from? Who made the seed? Okay, where'd the blessing come from? You guys are good. That's four in a row. And he thought to himself, "Self, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And he says, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." Do you see something there? My. Oh, my. "I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. The stock market is up." All right? But God said to him, "You fool." And that's pretty serious stuff. "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself?" Now, hold on. Now, that's kind of where we end it, but look at this last verse. "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Now, I think it's very important to point out here, this man's blessing is evident. His blessings came from God. But those blessings he misconstrued and put spin on himself, right? And then he says, "I'll just get more, and I'll get more. And the result of having all my blessings is I can take life easy. I can retire at 50. And I have bigger barns, I have all, and I'll just eat, drink, and be merry." And he says, "Listen, you're not even going to live till morning." And he says, "This is how I'm going to deal with everyone who is not rich towards God." So again, we have to be very careful in this. It's not against the richness and the blessing, okay? God's not saying that's a bad thing. God provided that for him. He's not saying that's a bad thing, but he says it is the misuse and misprioritizing of your life because you are not rich towards God. Listen, we are not here today because we all live in poverty. We are here today because God has blessed some people, and those people decided not to only be rich in this earth, but to be rich towards God. The moral of the story is don't let your life be about the things here, because you don't know how long your life is. And if you have blessings from God, don't spend them on yourself. If you're rich towards God, if you're rich spiritually, if you got a proper idea of what life is about, then God will use those things. So in Luke 12, we see a man blessed, but he messes up because he thinks it's about himself. Now I want to go over to Romans chapter 12 very quickly. Romans chapter 12. And we might think, you know, I know that we always read verses 1 and 2. And when I start reading this, if you're not familiar, you will get familiar with it. But I want to read it in the whole context here. Book of Romans, really quick. It was written to the church at... All right, you're scholars. Okay, Paul spends the first 11 chapters laying out theology, salvation, and the whole process, explaining to them. And then in chapter 12, he starts, here's the practical thing. This is how being a Christian changes your life, basically. And he starts in chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Ready? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship doesn't happen on Sunday morning. It's our life. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, we stop there because that's, you know, long enough for us to memorize, and we talk about our life should be of worship. But then he goes on, and these next verses are so important. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, boy, there's some great stuff here. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, I love it when people say, I don't read the Bible. I can't understand it. It's so difficult to understand the Bible. Let me read that sentence and see how you can interpret this. Ready? Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Is that hard? Okay? That's not that difficult. You just got to read it and think. All right? But rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, he's given us faith. Now, listen. Just as one body has many members, okay? Your body has many parts, if you're not tracking here. And these members do not have the same function, okay? The hand is not the eye is not the foot, the knee is not the hip. They all have different parts, and they all work well together. Because in the same way, so in Christ, you form one body. So together, we're one church, we're one body. We're not all preaching. And each member belongs to each other. We have different gifts according to who? According to the grace given to us. Where does your gift come from? God, okay? It comes from God. If a man's gift is prophesying, which is preaching or proclaiming, okay? It's not just telling the future here. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him do it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. Now, let me stop right there. When we think of the church and gifts, we think about preachers, those prophesying, those telling forth the word of God, right? The answer is yes. Right, thank you. Okay, we think about teachers, right? Oh, that's important. We got to have good teachers for our kids. Okay, we got to be able to teach the word. We think about that, right? We think about servants, you know. Someone's got to clean that kitchen. Someone's got to clean the building. Someone's got to take care of those things because the Lord knows John won't. Okay, that's why he put us here together, okay? It's just not my gift, okay? So we think about those real practical things. But now here, now listen, do not demean yourself. What is a gift that he lists next right with those? Encouraging. Oh, I can't do anything, I guess I'll just encourage you. No, that's a gift. That is just, how many need a little encouragement from time to time? How many just once in a while it's just been, you've just had this day and someone just says, wow, you know, thanks for doing that. Or you're doing a good job. Or, man, your kids, how many love hearing how great their kids are? Okay? And sometimes I even tell the truth when I'm telling you that, okay? No, but listen, we know that there is, and it's listed here. That's what's so interesting to me. We think of prophesying, teaching, and serving, but we don't think, man, we need to pray that God gives us more encouragers. It is such a huge difference maker, okay? I was talking to this young man about football a little bit. I remember I used to play football. It was a great career, both seasons, all right? But I remember I was playing football, and I was kind of a little bit, I was really mean and fast, okay? And one time I remember I got around in practice, and I really nailed Dave Lambert, the quarterback. I just sacked him, and, you know, it was just like, whoa, it was practice, but it was a big deal for me because I was really playing. And the coach told me, if you keep doing that, you can start. That's all it took, one word of encouragement. Just a word of encouragement. And it stuck with me. Look, it stuck with me. And, you know, my career was great. It was 6 games. It was awesome. I went on to other bigger, better things. I bought a car. Then had to get a job, pay for it, you know, and all that good stuff. So, but anyway, the idea, the thing with me, there's been, and I can go on to a few other things that a social studies teacher told me, man, you really get history. Boom, set me on, and he taught me about this place called Poitiers. There was a battle there. And years later, that came up when a missionary speaker said, I'm starting a church in Poitiers in France. You know, so, I mean, you just don't know how important it is to encourage. And listen, you're going to be with family. You're going to be around some people this week. Or maybe you're going to be home. You know, maybe the teacher's going to be dreaming, I'm ready to go back to school. No, right, Linda, you're ready? No, yeah. Okay, but listen, you have an opportunity this week. Maybe with some family members you don't see for a long time or that often. Maybe family members that you're kind of not looking forward to seeing for a long time. Okay? A word of encouragement could make the difference in their life. It could just make a huge difference. And it's listed right here. It's so important to encourage. It's so important. You know, we set people's paths when we encourage. Now let's get on to the next one. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now he says all these things here, all these gifts, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And when he says giving, it is a gift. Listen, we know we're all supposed to give. And the more you give, the better you are going to feel. I guarantee it. The more you give away, the better. And I'm not just everything. The more you're generous with your time, with your talent, with your money, with everything that you have, your life's going to be better. I just guarantee it. If you spend the next five, let's just say, I'll give you the 6 months money back guarantee, okay? All right? Not money back, but I'll say I'm sorry in front of everybody, okay? Just spend 6 months being generous with everything. 6 months not thinking about yourself. 6 months worrying more about everyone else in the room. And you come back and you tell me I'm not a more appreciative of everything I have. He says, if your gift is giving, you do it generously. And that word generously means focus. It's a really neat word. It has so many meanings to it. But it just means with single-heartedness. Just give. And in this context, he is talking financially. Okay? He's talking about giving and being generous. And you guys know it. I know it. I've seen people in church a long time. I've been in church a little bit now and been up here most of that time I've been in church. And I've seen what makes churches be places of blessing, and it's generous people. And I've seen, and boy, I tell you, the first people to complain are the people that just aren't invested in it. Because the show isn't the right show for them on Sunday. But the people that are invested in it, that it's their family, that it's their life, that are generous, man, they're fun to be around. Okay? And he tells us to be generous. All right? So, God blesses us, and we have two options. We can either be like the man and build bigger barns and spend it on ourselves, or we can understand those blessings come from God, and it's a gift from him, and my obligation is to give generously. Here's what happens, and you can write these things. Here are some results, okay, if you give generously. Here's some things about generous. I'm talking not just about money, but money's a huge thing because it is a God for us as Americans. We know that, okay? It is. It's just something that it is a big temptation. We've been blessed so much, so much, so much, so much. It's just like more, more, more. And it is because we're just natural people. We naturally tend to be like that farmer who wants to build bigger barns, right? I know I do. We tend to be like that. So we have to be careful with that. Because when we're blessed a lot, it just becomes so easy to get sidetracked. But when we become more generous, number one is you reflect God's character. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes from your heavenly Father from above. If you want to be Christ-like, it's not about saying no to a beer. It's not about attending church. It's not about not saying certain curse words. If you want to be Christ-like, one of the great characters of God, he was generous. He was generous all the time. So when we are generous, we reflect God's character. And how much can we reflect God's character in a culture that seems to be more and more self-absorbed, more and more worried about getting their share, more and worried about being a taker, as Gary, we didn't even discuss this in the communion meditation, to be a taker or a giver. All right? Number two, it restores hope in other people. When we give, it restores hope in other people. There are people this week, by our generosity, by our willingness to stop and talk to them, by our willingness to help them out, by our willingness as a church to be able to write them a check and do something to help them out, it's going to restore hope. There are people on the edge. We live in a time, unfortunately, where it's not unusual that 10 and 11-year-olds are killing themselves in our culture. When people lose hope, when we are to be the hope. So it restores hopes in others. And you know, sometimes, and I'll just tell a little story on my wife. I like to tell good stories on my wife. Have you ever done anything wrong? But Laura sometimes really surprises me, and it really catches me, because sometimes I think I'm so generous. We'll come out, oh, I gave so-and-so. I gave him a little money. I'm like, huh. Yeah. Yeah, two boys, liberty, not free. You know. And she'll just do this. Or, yeah, I went and bought that. You know, I'm like, oh, shoe boxes? You know how long? We still have some stuff we need to put in a shoe. We're going to give it away somewhere. But it's like, honey, we can't get everything. You didn't have to get the list. But it's just something I catch myself, though. I've never met someone more generous. Not just with my money, with hers, you know. I'm very generous with yours, but anyway, so. But the idea, but I see the hope it restores in others. And you talk about a book worth reading, a notebook worth reading. You read someone's notebook that has given away stuff, and it will inspire others. And it does inspire other people. It restores hope and other people. Last passage, I'm going to read the, and there's one more here, but on this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read the whole a few section here, but in verse 2 it says this, 2 Corinthians 9, 2, it says this. He's talking to the Corinthians about money, and he says, I know that your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it in Macedonians, telling them ever since last year that in Achaia you were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred up most of them to action. What stirred them up to action? They heard reports that, man, the church at Corinth, they are going to give a big gift. And what does that do? Use that competitive nature. It stirs up other people. Well, if they can give a little, I guess I can do something. And you stir it up. See, it's contagious. It's contagious that when we give, and it stirs other people up, it restores hope. The last one this morning, it refreshes your own soul. And that's what I want to tell you. Sometimes it happens and it's like, you know, listen, we're not saints. We've wasted money in our life on stupid stuff and still do once in a while. Somehow we think going out to that big dinner is just going to make every, you know, then we get the check. It's like, oh, I just lost my dinner. I paid for that. Can I have it? But the idea is when you do that, God has made us, right? Everybody believe we're created by God. God has infused into us his nature. And there's something about that. When you start doing that, you feel good, right? It just feels really good. You bought a bunch of stuff and put it in a little cardboard box and you're sending it to you don't know where, but you just felt good about that. Because you got in touch with what God has created you to be, and that is of someone a blessing, a channel of his blessings. And it does refresh your soul. What is sad, and I see it all the time, people amass, like that first guy, they amass stuff, and then they get it, and it just doesn't quite do the trick. Anyone been there? This one thing, boy, you might get this, and you know, you get it, whether it's a new, you know, I don't know, whether it's a new truck, a new car, a new, I don't know, whatever, what you know, new wig, I'm trying to think of something a woman might buy, I don't know, a new dress. Yeah. Pray for Laura. She deals with this all the time. You know, whatever it is, and we think it's gonna make me feel so good, and it just, you know, it's just disappointing. It's cotton candy. You bite in, it looks so good, and it's nothing. But when you do stuff for others, it just refreshes because you're in touch with how God created you to be. Now I want to just read this last passage, and then we'll be done, and I'll give you a couple challenges. It's funny. I mean, you read these. Now, I want you to understand. Here's the context. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. Had all kinds of problems. They tried to correct him. He writes them this letter. And now he basically has told everybody. We're going to start in verse 1. So we'll hold off on the 2 Corinthians 6 and 7. But verse 1, these first five verses, he's reminding them that you promised to take up a big collection. You know, it'd be like here. I told Flint to bring the wheelbarrows this Sunday. Okay? All right? Now listen, now he says this. Oh, Paul, he's a master. Ready? And this is scripture. He says, there is no need for me to write to you about the service of the saints. For I know your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting to the Macedonians, telling them that ever since last year, you were ready to give. And your enthusiasm has stirred them, most of them, to action. Now it's time. I've been telling everybody, boy, you just wait till the Corinthian church check comes in. It's going to be a biggie. But I am sending brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow. So they're coming to get the offering. Make sure I don't look like an idiot. But you may be ready, as you said you would be. For if the Macedonians come to me and find that you were unprepared, here's your 50 cents, and we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. Okay, so he's, you see that? Man. So I thought it necessary to urge you, brothers, to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then you will be ready as a generous gift, not one as grudgingly given. So basically he tells him, now I've been telling everybody this whole year, you're going to have a big check. Now I'm sending some brothers up to get that check. Now before they get there, I'm coming up to make sure it's all arranged. Here's your pen, write the check. So I ain't going to be made fun of. Okay? So they're not going to be disappointed. Because everybody down there, now they're giving like crazy down here because they heard you were going to give a big check. Now they're giving it. And I go up there and you give me $3 or 2 shekels or whatever it is. We're all going to look like idiots. So anyway, I did think it's funny sometimes when you need the Bible and slow down and read it, okay? And then he says this. And then he says, I think it's great. He says, but I do not want you to give grudgingly. All right, listen to the rest of this. He said, remember this. This is the truth of Scripture. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right? So he says at the end, and listen, I know that, you know, there's some people believe the tithe is a command of the New Testament. We don't have a command in the New Testament to tithe. We have the Old Testament command that was the rule of thumb, okay? That was what they were supposed to do. And that's carried over. And sometimes during every financial, we kind of twist Scripture a little bit to say the tithe is a New Testament teaching. I believe if we follow what it says in the New Testament, God expects us to be generous. I think one thing he doesn't want to do is put that on there, because I know people personally that tithe, but they do it grudgingly. And they do it as self-righteous way. Or they do it because they think they're commanded to. And they're missing the point. God says, I want you to decide in your heart what you can give. And I guarantee you that everyone in this room, we can live on 90% of what we bring in. We can. Some of us waste 90% of what we bring in. Okay? Every one of us can. It's an easy starting point. We have seen in this church, we have seen the blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. And there are people that they could come up here week after week and tell you the incredible blessings because they've sacrificed. But, you know, I don't want us ever to get into this point where we do anything out of religious duty. We can do stuff out of conviction and commitment and understanding that I'm going to go ahead and give this because by giving this, I'm trusting God will take care of me, and he will. There's no worries about that. But he says to give generously what you've decided in your heart, Okay? And then he goes on here. And now, see, I started this whole sermon with the idea of Thanksgiving. And as I was going through this, I read, and I'll be really honest with you, I didn't read past verse 7 until this morning. And I was in my office and I was reading that, and I read on this morning, and it's so good that when you have a thought, Scripture confirms it. Because you go down through here, and if you read verse 11, he says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity," look, "your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So your appreciation this Thanksgiving, your appreciation comes from being generous. So invite people to eat with you. Take advantage of the days not to spend on yourself, but spend with others. Give an encouraging word. Necessary, bring out a Andrew Jackson or a Benjamin Franklin and give it to someone. Help them out. Because generosity will produce in you a God-like character that will lead to you being more thankful and more appreciative of everything God has given you. The surest way to be ungrateful and unappreciative and someone who's lonely because no one likes to hang around them is to be greedy. Because this man had bigger barns, and if he'd have lived till morning, pretty soon no one would have been around him. But God has gifted us. God has gifted all of us. Listen, my friend Pastor Elijah, way when I first started going to Uganda, he says, "You live in a country where the poorest beggar on the street can be a donor to my ministry." That's how blessed we are. And God has blessed us, and we have seen that again this year at our church, continuing to bless us. People are generous. They're generous with their time. They're generous with their talent. They're generous with their treasure. So God call this morning to us is to be a generous people. It's something people can't argue with. You can be a scholar. You can. I can tell you everything about Nehemiah. I can tell you everything about creation. I can tell you about the end times. I'll tell you this about the end times. Time will end. Bam, period. That's all you need to know. Get right with Jesus. Okay, that's how they taught it in the first century. Jesus is coming. You better be right because it could be today. Don't worry about all the other stuff. You know, we can do all that, and people can argue with that. We can argue with you about modes and means of baptism and symbol, you know, and how, you know, we could talk about how we do communion. We could talk about songs, blah, blah, blah. You know what they can say about generosity? They can't explain it because it's so against our nature. So as we go into Thanksgiving, if you struggle with being thankful, if you struggle with appreciation of what God has given you, I'm going to tell you, here's the answer. Become more generous. As you become generous, all of a sudden the world will open up to you and you'll be more thankful for everything you have. Okay? Now, it's always good to have a little take-home project. All right? And here it is. One of the projects I already mentioned to you, and we mentioned a third. Be generous with your time. Help out with Journey to Bethlehem. Be generous. You know, next week, come, put gas in your truck, come up and down the hill. I don't know what you're going to move. But move it, all right? So there's a way. Number two, I already mentioned this one too. Number two is this, that there are some people, I know of a couple, and you probably know of some. Look around these next couple days and think, you know what? We're not doing a big deal for Thanksgiving. We're going to invite some people over. Or we're doing a big deal with our family, and it probably could be good for someone maybe to come over and just eat a meal with us. Go pick them up, bring them, enjoy your Thanksgiving, but bring some other people along. I have some suggestions for you, some people. If you need those suggestions, talk to me privately. Okay? And we'll do that. Number three, and this is just a very practical one. How many enjoyed Pastor Edward last week? Okay? We got to spend some time with him. Many of you know that on Facebook, something tragically happened just 2 days ago. And I really believe that he told me to tell you today that those that were there Monday night, that he felt recommissioned for his work. God has been moving this week. There's some people that are very seriously considering going over full-time missionaries to help him. Okay, it's not me, or it's not Dave and Vicky. Okay, all right. A couple that's going over that might help them and alleviate him. And when we met together this week, he said, "You can have it. I need to go train my pastors." He's dying to do that. So God's moving in some great ways. Well, a couple days ago, He had bought a cow last year, $800, great pregnant milking cow. Someone had put some, I talked to him after his Facebook post, they'd put some salt on a cloth and tied that cloth to a plastic bag. He's purposely killed his cow. So, huge expense. Those cows are part of milking that makes a living. They sell the milk, they use some milk for the kids and this. So it's tragic, and it's about an $800 cow. They say the calf was just born, so they have the calf, and they're hoping to do that. So here's the deal. No big deal. Just come to me privately afterwards. If you want to help out, I think it would be a tremendous blessing. I told him, man, I'm going to be praying about it. Didn't tell him. I didn't even know I was going to announce that. I was going to say how I felt, but you guys were paying attention long enough, and I'm going to let you out of here. So if there's a means there, if you want to help out, I think we could give him a special gift to enable him to get that taken care of, and I think we have that. So just talk to me privately, or, you know, you can even give it to Laura, because I'll probably be talking to a lot of people afterwards here, and we can do that. Amen? All right, let's, I just want to say how thankful I am. One of my greatest blessings. I truly love this. I love our church. Laura and I talk about it. We talk about it with these guys all the time about what's going on here. Matthew was excited to get back here. He didn't even have to get here at 7:30. Thank you, Funston. He can. This is when I come to church. See, ain't that fun? Matthew volunteered a year and a half. This is the first time you really got to sit through the whole thing. So anyway, but God bless you guys. Have a great Thanksgiving. Look for ways to be generous. Let's stand. We have a song we're going to sing right here. What are we singing? A sacrifice of praise? Yeah. Yeah. Laura, you want to sing it in French? They said, every time we sing this, Laura goes, oh, we sing that in French. Okay. So, all right. Let me pray. We'll sing that, and then go have a great Thanksgiving. And remember, no pastoral emergencies from Wednesday to Friday. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you. You are a generous God, and you have given us every good and perfect gift. You've given everything we need to know you. And you've provided for us an example. And Father, I pray, I thank you for the generosity I see daily in the lives of people here. Father, I pray that we go out this week and we can be a blessing to wherever we're at, with our families, with our friends, wherever we're doing this week, that you would just open our eyes and we could be generous in listening, we can be generous in sharing and encouraging. And Father, when you call us to be generous with our money and our blessings. Father, watch over us, and we thank you once again and pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.